This week on the Time Bat Show.
This is the problem, okay? Because sometimes this is so gross. I don't want to talk. Okay. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 154 of the Time Bat Show. I'm your host, Timeasis.
And I am your other host, Bat Snacks.
That was a long pause between of the Time Bat Show. Did you hear that?
I did. You've never done that, but I dig it. It's good.
It was completely unintentional. I forgot what the show was called.
Okay.
We've skipped a lot of episodes in the past 3 months because of the holidays and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But it's the first episode of the new year, 2020, right?
Yeah.
How was your New Year's?
My year so far is going so good, I can't even believe it.
I'm very happy for you.
Yeah, I'm so stoked.
Anything exciting that you want to share? Just in general, it's just really good.
Not anything I probably haven't shared before.
It's just like, good. You're just feeling good.
Yeah, speaking of not doing episodes for the past 3 months, it's been other stuff other than just holiday stuff. Like, I've been, like, life busy.
Really?
Incredibly life busy the past 3 months.
Don't you like being life busy?
It's mostly good.
Life busy.
But there are bad things.
Yeah, I mean, there are always good and bad things.
Yeah.
I'm glad your year's been going good. So far, 2020 is better than 2019 for you.
Oh, dude, I was thinking about this earlier, and it's going so well that I'm, like, afraid. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. You're like, something's bound to go wrong. It's due. Yeah.
Like, because especially the beginning of 2019 was so rough for me that even when I would have a good week in early 2019, I'd be like, all right, the next week,
it's going to be bad.
It's a write-off. Like, I already know.
It's going
to
be bad.
I can already expect it to be bad. But no, now everything is feeling really good.
That's awesome. I'm so glad. I'm so glad your 2020 is going to be good. Because we were talking about this literally last year on the show, which was, I felt my 2019 was really good. And you were like, oh, mine wasn't great. And I was like, you're due for a good 2020. And it's good to hear that you have started off on the right foot. And your 2020 is going to be great. That's exciting.
Yeah.
I hope both of our 2020s are great, obviously, but I hope yours is too. I hope yours is more, I guess. So.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm glad to hear it, though.
Yeah, I don't want to be one of those annoying people that are like, oh, I'm feeling good all the time. I don't want to oversay it.
Don't oversay it. The thing about you, though, is you never say it. So that when you're actually saying it, I know you're being very genuine. You know what I mean? Like, you're not a person to be like, my year's going so great, boo, 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 boo. But, like, some people say that, and it's like, oh, shoot me. But if you to say that means it's significant. You know, that's
It's something special.
That's special. That's great. I'm glad. Did you do anything exciting for New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, or anything like that?
Yeah, I did something special, which, I mean, again, I haven't done something special on New Year's in years.
Okay, so what did you do?
I drove down to the beach, and I wanted to watch fireworks, but there were no fireworks this year at the beach. But what was good about it is I brought my little handy recorder, and I recorded all the sounds of everybody, like, counting down.
That's cool. That sounds fun.
Yeah, and I've been trying to use Audacity to make some, like, weird ambient track of my experience on New Year's that's,
dude, we should write a song.
Distorts all the sounds.
We should write a song with this. Because you're recording cool stuff. We could have, like, a song. I don't know how to write songs, but we should do it.
Yeah, I was thinking about you because you play bass. And
I do.
Bass is the hardest sound to get when you're field recording because nothing makes that noise in nature, really.
So what you're saying is you ambient record, I add some bass, maybe like a drum track to it, and then we're in business.
Maybe not even drums. Just do something super experimental and, like, weird.
It's jazzy.
Yeah.
I like this. This is a good idea. So that's cool. I like this New Year's you had. You went down to the beach. It sounds very chill. Mine was not chill. It was good.
What did you do?
So Let me preface this story by saying that I went... New Year's Day is also my birthday, as people know on this podcast. And on a whim, one of my friends from work wanted to go to Las Vegas. Like, right after New Year, the New Year. Like, in the beginning of the year. And right. He invited me, and I was like, okay, I'll go, like, on a whim. And so we decided to fly out on January 1st at, like, 3 p.m. Mm-hmm. And me knowing this was like, okay, I'm going to have a chill New Year's Eve, not do a whole lot. Don't want to stay out too late, you know, because I'm going to travel the next day.
Yeah.
But then he was like, oh, I'm going up to for New Year's. I'm going downtown, and we're going to a bar, and da-da-da-da. I'm like, okay, I'll go, and I'll stay till midnight, and then I'll leave immediately, you know?
Sure you will.
So, like, we did that, and we ended up getting into this, like, fancy hotel New Year's Eve party. That was the fanciest New Year's Eve party I've ever been to. And I'm pretty sure that you had to pay for it, but we, like, didn't or something. So yeah. We were there. And then, you know, the midnight hit, and we stayed for, like, 10 more minutes. And then I was like, all right, we should head out. I'm going to head out. And they're like, oh, let's go to one more bar. And I was like, okay, we'll go to one. So we walked over to one, and we had a drink there. And as we were having a drink, I looked at my watch, and it was 12:30. And I was like, okay, maybe it's time to start heading home. And we had taken the train to downtown, so we had to take the train back. And we look up the train times, and the earliest time, I'm not making this up, is the next train time is 2:30 a.m.
Ooh.
So...
I mean, that's a convenient time. That's right after last call.
It was the last train out of the city, and it was the only one left. And so... Long story short, I got home like 3 o'clock in the morning and had to get up the next day to go to the airport, which was fine. But that was my year. It was fun, but it was goofy. But the real story is for my birthday, not really for my birthday, but it kind of just happened to fall upon my birthday, mm-hmm. is I went to Las Vegas with a group of friends from work, and it was an experience.
Now, this was your first time in Las Vegas,
right?
This
was my first time in Las Vegas.
So, what did you think?
So, the first two nights, I spent 4 days there. And the 4 days were very different. The first 2 days, January 1st and January 2nd, were your typical Las Vegas experience, I think. I mean, I don't know, but it was what you'd expect. So... I went with a friend from work, my wife went, his wife went, and then two other friends from work, one of you has met, that mm-hmm. you met, remember, Smell Borp from the show? She was there. So we were all there for the first night, and we did dinner, and then we walked the strip, and then we gambled, you know, like and we drank, the like typical thing, right? And that was really fun. We saw the Bellagio fountain thing, and... I lost a bunch of money and da 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 yada on slot machines, yada yada yada, that whole thing. The second day we did more gambling, more walking. We ate in a buffet.
Yes, you need to do that.
As you do. And then at night we went to Fremont Street, which I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's like old Las Vegas. They have all like the cheap gambling.
Yeah.
And so we did that. So the first two nights were like mostly gambling, drinking, and eating, which what I'm aware of is, like, that's pretty much typical Las Vegas kind of stuff, right?
That's what you do there.
That's what you do. So by the third day, my other two friends, left, because they were staying in California over the break, so they had to get back home to catch their flight. So it was just me and my wife and my other friend and his wife that were remaining. And we were kind of like, okay, gambling was fun, but I don't know if I can stay two more whole days just doing, just doing that. So we... Because, like, I don't know if you've been to Vegas once, right?
Yeah.
It's like, it's cool, but, like, 4 days was staring us down, and I was like, wow, this is a lot, like,
to like, just are we that. Just going to keep doing this? Like, I can only spin that slot machine so many times.
Right. So what we ended up doing was there's, like, a bunch of national parks around Nevada. So we drove to a bunch of them on the day after, and the two remaining days we just went to a bunch of national parks. And then we came back to the hotel and gambled a little and ate dinner at a fancy restaurant and then did the same thing the next day. So
that's cool.
That was cool. the national parks are really neat over there in the Southwest. There's a lot of mountains and stuff. So we did like a road trip thing for the other 2 days.
That's nice.
Yeah, it was really fun.
That's something I wish I could have done when I went there. Because, you know, when you're flying in, at least from the East Coast, you see like that pretty lake that's there and all the mountains.
The mountains are really cool. So if I ever went back to Vegas, I think I'd do something similar. Like, do like a long weekend, spend 1 or 2 days doing the Vegas thing, and then doing like some more nature stuff. Because it's, I mean, you've been there. Vegas is like in the middle of nowhere, right? Like it's a city, and then you drive, and like now you're in the desert or whatever, basically. Yes. So, but the desert's really cool. So no, I had a good time. It was fun. It wasn't really for my birthday, but it kind of was at the same time. Like the first night I went out to dinner for my birthday, I wasn't really out to dinner for my birthday, but it kind of was, right? And I had my friends there, and it was fun. It was cool, you know.
Yeah, it sounds cool.
Yeah.
The one thing I didn't really like about Vegas was the prices.
They're really expensive. Like, it's really expensive. Everything is expensive. Like, what prices in particular are you talking about?
Food in particular. Like, I don't mind paying for good food, but good Lord, you know?
It's so expensive. So, well, I spent so much on food. But I have to say, that might be my favorite part about Las Vegas, because the food was really good.
Yeah.
But it was so expensive. It was probably the most I've had the most expensive meals there than I have anywhere else, I think.
Yeah, I think me too. Like, I mean, even like normal hotel ramen was like $30 and stuff like that. Don't get me wrong, it was delicious.
No, I know what you mean. So like what happened to me, I think, was that I was like, well, somewhere along the way I decided that I could either spend a lot of money gambling or I could spend a lot of money on food. And I was like, I'm going to go food. That's like, I just stomached it and I was like, this is happening. And I spent a lot on food. But it was really good. And another thing about Las Vegas that they don't tell you, maybe they do and I didn't know, every restaurant is like owned by a celebrity chef, like every single one, like everyone. Like we went to Emeril's restaurant and Wolfgang Puck's restaurant and this other Italian restaurant that I'm sure is owned by some celebrity chef.
Yeah.
And I don't know, there's like
Andre Bocelli.
Gordon Ramsay like is there and, you know, Guy Fieri's there. Like they're all there. It was fun. I mean, I had a good time. Would I go back? I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe. You know.
That's how I feel. You know, the day I landed in Las Vegas and like the first, I think, 6 hours I was there, I remember thinking, I'm going to move here. This is the greatest place I've ever been. I can't believe how cool this is. But by the third day, I was like, nah. It was okay to visit.
I think it's cool. And like, yeah, that's what I was saying. To my wife, like, as we came back, I was like, well, I'm glad we did 2 days in Vegas and 2 days doing other stuff, because I don't think I could have done two more days of purely Las Vegas, because you get to the point where you're like, what else is there to do other than eat, drink, and gamble? And I guess go to shows, which are really expensive, like, even more expensive than anything, you know, so it's like, I don't know, at the end of the day, there's only so many things you can do, but... It was worth doing. It was an experience. It was something I didn't know I'd be doing for my birthday, but I did. You know, it was kind of a spur-of-the-moment kind of thing. And I'm not a very spur-of-the-moment guy, but, you know, it's fun to do that sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
The most fun things that I have had happen to me in my life probably are last-minute decisions, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I agree with you. Even though I don't do it very often,
yeah,
it's definitely impulse decisions are the most fun.
And they don't have to be like in the moment, but like if it's like, oh, we're gonna do this in like 2 weeks, and you're like, what? And you like, it's something you normally plan. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, that I think that still counts as like an impulse thing. Or if it's something, you know, you're doing that day, even because you have less time to stress out about it, and you have less time to, like, get yourself psyched up of, like, the expectations, you know? Like, you don't have expectations because it's more of an impulse thing, you know?
Like, if I plan to do something for 4 months or 6 months, mm-hmm. by the time I get there, I've already done it in my head like 1,000 times.
And it's not going to be as good as what it was.
Yeah, like I already did everything you can do. I imagined every situation.
It's not going to be as good because you're going to lose the things.
Yeah, like every possible timeline on that vacation, I've stressed about every bad thing and I've gone through every good thing and none of it's going to be new. But if I do something like...
Spur of the moment,
I don't have time to think about it. I can just go there and, you know... Take it in.
No, you just do it. That's what we should do. We should do, me and you should do a spur of the moment vacation this year. We don't plan it. And like 3 days before it happens, we just decide.
I'm down.
I don't know how that would work in any way, but it would just be like, we're going here in 3 days. Like, okay. And then we just, just do it.
We're doing a weekend and you don't have time to prepare.
Go.
We're going.
Don't even look at where we're going. Like you just tell each other where it is, and that's it. That's the end. I mean, it'll be fun because it's no. I don't know how you'd like plan that. Like you can't obviously can't plan it, but like you need to plan some things. Like you're not going to be there for work or whatever. But
yeah, just do a long weekend or something.
Anyway, I like spur of the moment stuff, but me it too. Was good. Anyway, so that was fun. I'm 32 now. You know. That's
are you older than me? I think you're a little older. I think I'm 32 this year.
Yes, I'm older than you. I like how you don't know this. We've literally been friends for over 15 years, and you don't know that I'm older than you.
Someone asked me my age at work recently, and I didn't know what to tell them at the time. I had to do math to figure it out.
You know what's weird about me is a lot of people I know don't know how old they are, and I tell them, like Megan... My wife doesn't remember how old she is. Some of my friends don't remember how old they are. You don't remember how old they are. And I'll have to correct them. I'll be like, oh, you're blah, blah, blah. You're this old. And I always remember how old I am. So maybe, I don't know. It's weird that you say that because I tell people a lot. But you're 31. I know that.
Yeah.
I'm aware of that. And I know you're 31 because I'm 32. And you're not 32 yet. Like, that's how I know.
Yeah.
I think it's easier for me because my birthday is on the 1st of January. So as long as the year is still the year, then I know how old I am, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's easy to remember. But, yeah, so 32 feels about the same as 31.
Yeah, that's how I imagine it'll be. I'm still not comfortable saying the 30 number. To be like, every time I hear it, I'm like, ugh.
I don't like being in my 30s.
Yeah.
I made the joke when I turned 32 that I turned 29 again. And I'm going to make that joke a couple more times probably.
Yeah.
Probably until 35 at least. You know?
I probably will too.
I have to say this. I don't know why, but you like tweeted about my birthday on the day of my birthday.
I did.
And I don't know why, but like stuff like that just makes me feel good about myself. So I appreciate it.
You're so welcome. Yeah.
I just wanted to let you know.
You know, you did on my birthday too. It's only fair.
I don't remember doing
that. You totally did. You were the only person that did.
Really?
I mean, tweet, yeah.
See, I don't remember this stuff. Like, it's funny how much the person getting it remembers it than the person actually doing it. Because I don't remember doing it for you. But I remember, and I will always remember you doing it for me. You see what I'm saying? Like,
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, like, it's funny how I forget that I've done it. But I'll remember you did it, you know?
Yeah. You never know, you know, what little nice thing you do for someone is just going to, like, what effect that's going to have on them.
Yeah, it's like, just the small things. People telling me happy birthday, just like, it's like, oh, you remembered that it's my birthday,
like,
and
you
were thinking about me, like, that makes me feel good. Like, I got a text message 5 minutes after midnight wishing me a happy birthday, and I was like, aw, that's so sweet, you know, like, it's so nice when someone remembers your birthday.
Yeah.
I don't know, something about it makes me feel good.
I don't know if this has ever happened in a movie, but that makes me think of a kind of movie scene where there's this, you know, isolated person, they're by themselves on their birthday, and midnight strikes and it's their birthday.
Yeah.
And they look down at their phone like, oh, I used to get a message from someone, you know, maybe my mom or my friend or something, and now this year is the first year that I haven't gotten it.
Yeah.
Imagine how sad that would be.
That makes me so sad. I was that guy for a while. I was. I'll tell you that. I for a mid-20s, that was me. I didn't get any happy birthday or whatever. And it's sad. It's a sad state to be in, you know?
Yeah.
But now, you know, I got a couple people letting me know happy birthday. And I don't care if I get the quantity doesn't matter. Like,
no.
It doesn't matter. Like, as long as there's, like, one or two people that remember it's your birthday, good enough for me, you know?
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
That's better, even. I only want one or two.
It almost is better, the smaller number, because then it's like they're really thinking about you, you know? All these other people don't remember or don't care, you know? Or they're doing it through Facebook, which tells them to do it. Like, that doesn't count.
Yeah, that's not what I want to see. That doesn't count. I do not want to see that.
You know? But yeah, I don't know. What's so funny?
So in the movie scene, I created.
The sad scene you're imagining?
Yeah. Yeah. The guy or the girl, you know, she opens up her phone, goes, and she sees, there's a notification on my phone. Opens up the notification.
Oh, God.
And Allstate is wishing you a happy birthday.
Don't you love that when you go to the mail and you're like, I got a birthday card, and it's like from your insurance agent, and you're like, great, that's fantastic. They're thinking of me at least.
Yeah.
That's great. But anyway, thank you for wishing me a happy birthday. It means a lot to me when people wish me a happy birthday. You know, just thinking about
You're so welcome.
Thinking about a person. It's an interesting concept, I think, with birthdays. It's like, it's a lot of the thought that counts. Like, I remember something about you, and I'm thinking about you at this time. That's what happens when you wish someone a happy birthday. And it's like a small thing, but it means a lot to some people, and I think it means a lot to me. And so whenever someone else has a birthday that I know it's their birthday, I try to wish them a happy birthday, because it's like I'm indicating that not only do I remember your birthday, but I'm thinking about you in this moment, you know what I mean, before. Mm-hmm. It means a lot to me. I don't know if it means a lot to as people as much, but I am trying to reciprocate that sometimes, you know. So anyway, thank you for that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't use any kind of Facebook or anything to remember people's birthdays. So if I wish someone a happy birthday, that's actually big for me, you know?
Because you remembered.
Yeah. It's part of my, you know, ongoing mental clock or
I'm
whatever.
I'm actually really good at remembering birthdays.
I'm not.
I'm really good at it. I like just steel trap remember people's birthday. The thing is, I don't know many people's birthdays because people don't tell me their birthdays. But if they do tell me, then that indicates to me, like, oh, this is important information. You know, lock it down. Does that make sense?
So. It does.
Anyway, that was mushy, but... anyway, you know what I mean.
Do you want to do your first trivia question?
Let's get into the trivia.
Okay. Your category is biology.
Ooh, I'm really bad at biology, but I will go with... Monty Hall is my lifeline.
Okay. Your question is, what do you call a group of toads? Is it a moat of toads? Is it B, a gaff of toads?
Sounds gross, too.
Is it C, a knot of toads? Mm-hmm. Or is it D, a ribbit of toads?
Can't be a ribbit. A moat, a knot, a gaff, or a ribbit?
Or a ribbit.
Moat sounds the most like evil, you know? A moat of toads. What does moat mean?
It's that thing you dig around the sandcastle.
Oh, moat. M-O-A-T. Yeah.
Or it could be a group of toads.
Could be. It's spelled moat, though, M-O-A-T?
Yes.
This question? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
How is gaff spelled? G-A-F-F-E?
Sure.
Well, I want to know.
It is, yes.
How do you spell
it? It could totally be the answer. I know how to spell it.
Well, now I know it's not that, because you don't even know how it's spelled. Did you even write these down, or are you just doing this from the top of your head?
I wrote them down, yes.
All right, how did you spell gaff in your notepad? What?
It's G-A-F-F is what I have written gaff. Down, which okay. It could be.
No, it's not that. I mean, maybe it is. How do you spell moat? M-O-A-T?
Yes.
And not. K-N-O-T?
Yes.
And then what was the last one?
A ribbit.
Which is spelled R-I-B-B-I-T. Okay.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to Monty Hall. I'm a lock and gaff.
Dang it. It's either a gaff or a knot.
A knot, huh?
Mm-hmm.
You could be playing the long con here.
I could. This, it's something I would do. Thing.
This is something you would do. This is a strategy that you would have. But I don't think you are. That seemed genuine when you said sure, laughingly. So I'm going to go with not final answer, not of toads.
That is correct.
Yes, got you.
You did.
Where did you even get gaff from?
It's the thing you stick in the fish to bring it in the boat. I don't know why I thought of that.
That's with an E at the end.
Yeah, and then I was thinking...
I don't actually know.
When you asked me, it made me insecure, and I was like, oh no, I spelled it wrong. And...
And then you said, sure, but yeah. You should have just been like, yes.
Yep, that's...
that's how it's spelled. But you were like, yes, sure, that's how it's spelled in this question that is not made up, or this answer that's not made up at all.
Yeah.
That's good, though. Okay, not of toads, now I know.
Mm-hmm.
What else did I want to talk about on the show? Oh, AGTQ is going on right now.
It
awesome
is.
Awesome Games Done Quick, are you watching that at all?
I haven't had a lot of time to watch it, but...
Me neither, unfortunately, because it's my first week back at work, but I caught a few, you know. I like it. It's a fun event. We went a couple years ago.
Do you know what it always makes me think of, AGDQ and these events in general?
What?
These are always weeks where I'm, like, trying to, like, do better for myself for some reason. For some reason, whenever... a GDQ marathon is going on, I'm like, okay, this is the week. I'm going to get it together.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to clean my house and do my laundry.
These people can speed run Toe Jam and Earl in 30 minutes, then I can clean my room.
And it's also like, you know, I'll put it on TV while I clean, which I hate to do.
Like, it's like inspiration.
Yeah, it'll lessen the burden of having to
do laundry. Okay, here's a weird topic. So whenever I watch AGDQ, and there's all these people that speed run games, and some of them, like, aren't, like, most of them are not famous in any way, right? And they're, like, give you their Twitter handle, and they, like, have, like, 30 followers or something. But they're speedrunning this game, and they're doing it in, like, 12 minutes. And, like, they could be working at, like a pizza shop, you know? They could, like, have a, or they could be in college or in debt, or, like, they could have a pretty shitty life, you know what I mean? But they're doing this, right? And they're speedrunning it at AGDQ. And whenever I see them do that, I'm like, man, I wish I had a thing that I could say that I do, that I, like, have. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not, like, jealous of their life, but I'm, like, wistful of having a thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Does that make any sense to you at all?
It makes perfect sense to me. Do you know what's charming about it to me is... everybody in that marathon, because, you know, none of them make money doing this.
Sure, it's for charity. Yeah.
All of them have a secret.
What do you mean?
And I'm, because nobody at their job knows that they're the best, Tekken, not even Tekken, but, like, Okami player in the world.
Right.
No one knows that.
Right. It's just something they do.
Yeah, you know? And it's a secret. They're secretly the best.
Right.
Ever.
Just cool.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know. It's just like, yeah, maybe... You know, I don't want to switch places with this person or anything, but I don't have anything that, I don't have that thing, you know? I'm not the best at anything like that. And they're the best at something. And that's cool. Being the best at something, that's really cool.
Or to be so good that you could do something like that.
Yeah, maybe not the best, but like one of the best, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just cool, you know? And I don't think I'll ever do anything like that, even though I really want to, because I don't have any drive. We've talked about this in the show before, where it's like, you know, you want to be the best at something, or really good at something, and then you go on the internet, and you see other people that are way better than you, and you're like, why even bother with, you know? Like, I'm going to have to devote so much time to even get close that there's no point in doing this, you know what I mean?
And yeah. I think you have to just find something where you like the journey even more than the end result.
I think I want the end result more than the journey. That's my problem. Yeah. I'm like, I just want to be the best at something. It's so much that, like, when I was a kid, I would want to, like, take the shortcut to, like, be the best at things. And, like, that's not how you do it. That's not how you be the best at anything. You know, it's like, find the thing that's easy to be the best at that nobody knows about and do that one. Like, no, that's not. That was always my strategy, and that's not the strategy to go into.
It doesn't work good.
It doesn't, but, you know. But AGDQ reminds me of that, that there are people out there that, you know, who knows what they do for a career, but their secret is that they're the best at whatever video game, which is really neat, you know.
Yeah.
It's cool.
And no one can take that from them, you know, damn it.
They always have that, and, you know, I'm not going to say I'm jealous of it, but I kind of am, in a way. You know what I mean? Like, that pride of something that you have.
Yeah.
That you can have.
It's anyway, really cool.
It is cool. I wish I knew. Like, I wish I had something like that. Like, I could speedrun or something.
Yeah.
But
if we're being honest about speedrunning, that's not a journey that I envy, because, like,
it takes a lot of time.
Getting there is pain for speedrunning. But that's just people in pain or hurting themselves. Yeah. Like, playing, like, this boss in, like, the worst
over
game
and
ever.
Over and over again.
Like, they can't enjoy that. No one would.
You really need, like, a support group in order to do that. Like, you need a friend that's also speedrunning a different game that you can just, like, or a couple friends that are doing the same thing that are encouraging you to, like, stick with it. Because I would not be able to do it. Just sitting, coming home from work and being like, all right, time to do this stupid game again, you know, for a year so I can prepare for AGDQ. It's kind of like the Olympics. Like, that's a terrible analogy because Olympians are, like, a whole different level. But, like, that's what you do for, like, a whole year. You're training for this thing that you might not even win, and you're not going to really get money for it unless you're, like, the top. But at speedrunning, you don't get money either way. But, like, it's a good example. And at the end of the day, you're like, maybe you'll be the best ever. Maybe you won't. You probably won't have anything to show for it at the end of the day. But you're training anyway. And it's kind of a self-improvement journey. You know, you're kind of learning something about yourself, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's still a lot of work, you know, for maybe not a lot of gain. Probably not a lot of gain.
Yeah. Almost certainly not a lot of gain.
Almost certainly no gain at all. But, I mean, it's cool to be able to do that, to be able to say that you have that. The world record in Yoshi's Story speedrunning. I don't know what it would be, but, you know. That game's really short, so you could probably get a speedrun of that in, like, 5 minutes. But I'm sure there's, like, secrets.
I like that game. Do you remember the... That game made me obsessed with eating fruit. Like, I was never a big fruit person, really? But after I played that game, I was like, man, I love watermelon, actually.
Seriously?
Yeah.
What did it awaken in you?
Because I
want to
eat watermelon like Yoshi. Yeah.
And you have to do it like the, you know...
Yeah.
Like, that's how he sounds. Isn't it weird how some things, like, make you like other things that really should not in any way influence? Like, why playing Yoshi's Story didn't you like watermelons? Like, watermelons are not even that prominent in the game. Like, yes, you eat them, but, like, all you do is see the pixels of the watermelon and put it in Yoshi's mouth, and that's, like, it's not, like, describing the flavor of watermelons or anything.
No.
And yet you're like, oh, man, I'm going to eat watermelon. You know?
I don't know.
It's weird.
It's a good point.
No, I don't know. I'm not making fun of you for it. I do it too, and it's interesting how we consume media and we see something cool in the media and we're like, I want to do that. You know,
that's what I want to do.
Eat watermelons or play this card game that they were playing in this thing, you know. I don't know. That was an example. But
this was popular in the 90s. Do you remember The Simpsons and Butterfinger, that ad campaign?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was another big one.
That made you want to eat Butterfinger?
Yeah. I never watched The Simpsons, but I would see the commercials and be like, yeah, there's something there.
Well, that's advertising for you. Like, the advertising worked, like, so well that you wanted to eat Butterfinger. And you know the sad part about Butterfinger? It's bad. It's a terrible candy. Like, I do not like Butterfinger at all. It tastes so buttery. It's not good.
Yeah. Without those ads, if anyone had ever asked me to pick a candy bar, like anyone I wanted, it never would have been Butterfinger.
Yeah, like, but because Bart was there selling you that Butterfinger, you were like, okay, I'll have some. Do you like Butterfinger?
No, they're not good. I don't like candy, though, so...
You don't? Really?
Not really.
I never knew that about you. Isn't it weird how you learn things about people that you've known for a long time sometimes?
Yeah. I mean, especially you and me. Like, I feel like we like, should know
I
feel like
I should have
all.
Known the candy thing already. Yeah. No, maybe I knew it and I forgot it. That could be. I don't know. Let's try to think of things that we don't know about each other for 6 minutes until the next trivia
question. Until the next trivia question?
No, okay. Let's not really do it. No, let's do it really quick. Let's see. I'm trying to think.
What's something I might not know about you?
I don't know. I feel like you know everything about me. You know more about me than probably any other person on the planet, except for my wife, probably.
What was your rap name?
What are you talking about? I never had a rap name.
Like 20 years ago, you had a rap name.
I did not have a rap name.
If I say it, you'll remember it. I guarantee it.
No, wait, hold on. What are you talking? Are you saying you know this?
Yeah, I know it.
Wait. This is supposed to be stuff that I don't know about you, not stuff that I've forgotten about myself that you know.
Oh, well, so. I did it wrong.
No, but it's good. Is this real?
It's real.
Mm-hmm. Wait. Let's hit the brakes. Hold on. I had a rap name.
Yep, 20 we years both ago. Did. I don't remember what mine was, but I remember yours.
Wait. Why did I have a rap name?
Because we used to do stuff like that.
Why did we both have rap names?
Because I think we did a skit at some point, maybe on like...
Yeah, we had a lot of skits.
Yeah, we did a thing where, you know, we both had rap names and we imitated rap. Hip-hop culture, rappers.
So, this is going to be so bad. I don't even want to hear it. You had one and I had one?
Yeah.
And you don't remember what yours is?
Nope.
Did my rap name have my name in it?
Like, nope.
It didn't?
Nope.
Oh. I don't remember. What was it?
Home Skillet.
Really?
It really was.
I don't remember this at all.
I remembered this the other day, and I almost texted you. I was like...
Please text me in the future.
Rap name? It was Home Skillet. And you would be like, yo, what's up? It's Home Skillet here.
I don't remember this at all. I must have blocked this from my memory.
That's a badass rap name, though.
When was this? What age were we? Like 12 or something?
Around there, probably.
Oh,
I don't remember
God.
The exact
How do you
age.
Remember this?
It just popped into my brain randomly.
It was definitely me, though, right?
Yeah, that was your rap name for sure.
Wow. Can we set up some ground rules right now?
Yes.
If you ever have a memory of something that I did as a child or years ago or even recently that is stupid and funny and you think about texting me, just do it. Like, I approve. Okay. Please do. Because if I got that text message yesterday, I was having a bad day yesterday. I'm not going to go into it. But if I got that text message from you in the middle of the day, it would have turned the whole day around. I'll tell you that right now. So,
I will next time.
So you randomly thought of that yesterday?
Yeah, I randomly thought
of
that.
What brought it on? Just random?
I was cooking in my house and...
And you saw a skillet and you're like, that was his rap name.
Home Skillet.
That's great. I wish I could remember what your rap name was, but I don't even remember the chain of these events, so...
Yeah. This wasn't a thing we did often. I think this was a one-off thing.
It was a one-time thing. Probably because it was so stupid.
Yeah.
But, you know, what are you going to do? I'm trying to think of something about you that I wouldn't know. That you... Now you've altered the game. You've evolved it. It's now something that I know about you that you have forgotten about yourself. And I don't know... And I mean, I'm sure I do know, but I don't have any off the top of my head. What I'm going to do is I'm going to think about it, and I'm going to text you one day in the next week or so, and you're going to receive it. And
I'll be excited.
Hopefully, yes. I wish I had remembered something, but I have nothing.
It might be easier than you think. My memories aren't very good.
Really?
Like I don't have a lot of them for some reason. Sounds weird to say, but I don't know.
You don't have memories?
No, I do, but I don't have super detailed memories. Not like I used to when I was younger.
What
like
do you remember about your child? This is like very psychological.
I don't know if we want to get into.
No.
I had a great childhood, but
no. But like, what do you remember about Oh, this is a hard question to phrase. Like, I have very distinct memories of growing up as a teenager. Many of them involve you because we hung out like all the time.
Yeah.
But like, there are definitely gaps that I don't remember. But I mean, I feel like I remember a good portion. Maybe you don't, though. I'm trying to determine what you don't remember is what I'm trying to.
It's different for me. You know what I mean? Like, I remember different things at different times.
Do you remember moments, or do you remember like whole swaths of years and stuff? It's like, are they all kind of one thing?
Almost always moments.
Really? Like singular things?
Yeah.
Like, give me an example.
Like grilling one day or something like that. And, you know, that memory could be like a combination of 10 different memories sandwiched into one.
Okay. So, like, if I were to say, pick a memory that you have that involves you and me hanging out, what would like the first thing that popped into your head be?
Playing Contra at like 3 a.m. is one of the big ones.
Why is that mine too? That doesn't make any sense. That game was so bad.
It was fun.
It was not fun.
I had fun.
we made it fun. Yeah, that's true. I guess that they were all video game related.
Not StarCraft.
Playing StarCraft really late. Watching The Matrix on your, like, dad's computer.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, we had the... Okay, let's set this up. We had a family computer in the kitchen.
It was the most random place for a computer. Yeah.
But that's the only computer we had.
No, I know, we had to use it.
Having a computer was a big deal at this time. And we had one in the kitchen. I loved
that computer, yeah.
Did I illegally download it?
Yes, you definitely did.
Okay. This was like probably one of the first pirating experiences I ever had. We downloaded The Matrix. It probably had like Thai subtitles or something.
And I had never seen it before.
Yeah. And we stayed up extremely late one night because we weren't allowed to watch R-rated movies. And we each held a speaker to our ear so that no one could hear. Oh, yeah, I didn't remember that. Yeah.
Because we didn't want to wake your parents up.
Yeah. We would have gotten extremely busted for watching a rated R movie.
And then we had to pause it halfway through.
And take a break.
Because it was too deep for me and my little 12-year-old brain or whatever.
You were like hanging upside down on the couch like, why?
Oh, that was good.
Yeah.
That was a good memory. I like that.
That was a real good one.
Though. Yeah. It's weird how your brain picks these memories out, though.
Yeah, that's how I remember things. I don't remember big... Like, I can't put them all together into a coherent narrative. I just remember bits and pieces.
But you can remember really stupid things.
Of really specific things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember trying to, like, staying up really late, trying to figure out what to do, like, all the time. Like, we would just stay up till 4 in the morning... talking about, like, what do you want to do? And you're like, I don't know. And we would develop, like, a game to figure out what to do. But by the time we figured out what to do, we were both exhausted and we fell asleep.
Yeah, I remember that, too. We still do that.
We do. I do that to this day with other people. But, I mean, we do it the most, you know.
Do you know how good you are at that because of me? Like, you're probably excellent at making other people choose to do things because of all the practice you got.
My wife is so annoyed at me that I'm so good at it. Because every time we want to do something, I, like, connive my way into making her decide.
Yeah.
And she, like, realizes it, but she doesn't realize it until it's too late, and then she decides. And she's like, how did you do that? And I'm like, I'm the best at it. It annoys other people, honestly.
Yeah.
But I am really good at it. Yeah.
You have lots of practice.
I can blame you for that. Yeah. Honestly. But, man. I kind of wish I wasn't as good at it as I am. But what are you going to do? I mean, that's it. That's it. Anyway. It's 43. We should do another trivia.
Your next trivia question is about anatomy.
I would like 50-50.
Okay. upon average, how long does it take food to pass through the human body?
Ooh, I don't know.
Is it A, 6 hours? Is it B, 28 hours? Is it C, 53 hours?
Jesus Christ.
Or is it D, 72 hours?
It's a lot of time. On average.
Yes.
How long does it take food to pass? Now, pass through is...
What do you think?
What? Don't laugh at me. Pass through means the whole nine yards, right? We're talking in one way and out the other.
Yes, that's okay, what we're talking about.
Complete, total eviction.
Evacuation. Yes.
Evacuation. Okay, so I feel like 6 hours was my first inclination, but that might be too short. Because, like, I know I eat food, and I don't want to gross this analogy up too much, but I know I eat food, and 6 hours pass, and I have not evacuated the food yet.
You yes. know
what I mean? So I don't think it's six. The next one was, like, was it 12?
Or 20, was it 20? 28.
That's a big jump, though. You know, that's pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to go from 6 to 28, like, I was hoping there was, like, a 12 or 13 hours. You know, that would be nice.
Yeah.
But there's none. It's 28 is the next one. 28 is a long time to eat. I like, want to say so many things, but I don't want to say them. You know?
I can't help you, so I can't say anything until you've guessed.
This is the problem, okay? Because... sometimes, this is so gross. I don't want to talk. Okay, sometimes you eat food.
Yes.
And then immediately after you eat, you need to go to the bathroom.
Yes.
So, like, what's going on with that? You know what I mean? Is this just part of the average? Like, it averages out? Like, sometimes it's instant, sometimes it takes 28 hours kind of thing? You know what I mean?
Or maybe I'm just really weird.
Like, this happens to me. I don't know if it happens to other people, but, like, it happens to me.
Yeah, like, is six even that unusual? Like,
that's why I'm almost leaning to six, because let's logic through six, right?
Mm-hmm.
So six is average. So that means sometimes maybe it takes 12. Sometimes maybe it takes 5 minutes. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
And an average is six, so maybe it is six. But I feel like this happens to everybody, this event that I'm talking about here,
mm-hmm.
that I'm not going to repeat again, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's different things. I mean, it's a phenomenon that you can, what's the right word? You can induce it with certain behaviors. Like, if you drink a fifth of whiskey and, like, with Taco Bell, like...
like, it's happening. Like, it's not 6 hours, I'll tell you that right now. It's like 10 minutes. I'm going to use my 50-50.
Okay. It is either 53 hours.
Oh, my God.
Or 72 hours.
Are you serious?
Yep.
Oh, my God. What is happening with me then? Where did I go wrong? Like, what's happening? Like, how is this happening? This is a physical sensation that's happening to me. This doesn't make any sense. All right, I'm going to go the lower one because that's less egregious. What was it, 53 hours?
Yep.
I'm going to go with 53 hours, final answer.
That's correct, apparently, according to the Mayo Clinic.
So, I don't understand this. This is what my theory is. Maybe some food takes like 100 hours. And some food takes 5 minutes, and it just averages out. The middle is 53.
Yeah.
You know, that's the only thing I can think of.
There's not a food that if you only eat that is 53, but because there's so much variance, that's just where right.
that's the
average is.
Yeah. If we took, like, the median or the mode, I'm sure it would be
closer to six, hopefully.
It'd be closer to six. I hope to God it's closer to six. Because if it's not, then I have some issues going on in my... All right, we're moving on. We're moving on. I had some Reddits that I thought were pretty funny. that you want to get into them?
Let's do some, sure.
We haven't done like a good amount of Reddits in a while, and I feel like people, especially today, it seems like people need our advice because Ask is full of advice. Like, people want to know what to do. And I think this is our forte on the Time Bet Show, and we've kind of lost track of it in the past few months. But getting back to the advice, I think, you know. So, first question is from Strunamia. And he or she asks, am I going to die alone? And this is a long question, so let me just read the whole thing. He says, I'm a 23-year-old guy. That part is just funny for me. I've been single for about 3 years after a long relationship that ended when I was 20. I've since been on the lookout for the one, and I've met quite a few people, but I haven't felt the connection yet. Blah, 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 blah. I'm pretty attractive. Blah, 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 blah. What should I do? Should I start dating people who I think I want to end up with and see how it goes, or just hold out for the one? Like, okay. The first thing I'll say to this guy, unless you want to take the first crack.
No, go ahead. I have things to say. But
this guy's 23 years old. Like, he's jumping the gun a little much here, I think. You know, like, 23 is, you don't know what the hell's going on with anything. So, my opinion is, don't even think about it.
Yeah, like, will you die alone? Seriously, dude? Like,
that's something to think about when you're, like, 40 and you're alone.
Even 40, you have plenty of time.
You do, but that's when I would think, like, if I was single at 40, I would think about it at 40. I wouldn't think about it at 23, you know what I mean?
Do you know what I have to say to that guy? He's just being so dramatic right now, and this is not helping his chances. People don't like when you're really dramatic.
People don't like dramatic people.
About that kind of
stuff.
Well,
some people like drama, but yeah. About that kind of thing. It's like a me thing. Yeah. And, you know.
Like, come on, dude. And you don't even know what those words mean.
And he goes on to say he turns down some people because he can't envision a future with them. Like, oh my god. Like,
so what is he saying? That he just like immediately knows someone that
he thinks he's too picky and he wants someone perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But at this rate, he thinks he's going to die alone because he's being too picky. Like, maybe you're being picky, but you're 23. Who cares? Like, you have time to be picky. Doesn't matter. You're being dramatic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's fine to be picky with people. There's nothing wrong with being picky. I've been picky my whole life, and granted, you know, there have been some ups and downs, but I think it worked out pretty well for me. You know?
Yeah, I think so.
I think pickiness pays off long term, because you get to a place where you're in a spot with people that you like because you've been so picky about your relationships. And I think, and I've noticed this about my life. I'm sorry, I'm going to get philosophical again. Is that okay?
Yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I feel like I've been too picky. Like, if you asked me 3 years ago, I would have been like, oh, I'm being too picky about who I choose to be friends with, who I choose to hang out with, what I choose to do for a career and hobbies and, you know, the whole nine yards and everything. And to a degree, you feel like you're isolating yourself needlessly. And like, this guy in this situation thinks he's being too picky when it comes to, like, you know, romantic relationships.
Mm-hmm.
But I think being picky pays off in the long term, because whereas all these people are accepting any person that comes in their purview or any experience or any, you know, career or any life choice or whatever you say, they're doing all these things in their 20s, and, you know, that's the time to do it and whatever. But at the end of it, what do they have to show for it? And the answer is nothing, really, because they didn't really filter anything. They just did everything.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, maybe I didn't have as many of those experiences that other people had. But at the end of the day, I'm only around people I like, and I'm only doing things that I like, and I'm only having experiences that I've already signed off on that I already like. And so, like, nothing is, like, bad that I have chosen, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes
sense. Whereas a lot of people I know my age are like, they're mad about their life choices, and it's because they weren't picky. And I've been so picky that maybe I don't have as many things as they have, but like, all the things that I have, I'm generally okay with because I picked them, you know?
So yeah.
My point is, be picky. That's my point.
Yeah, I think that's a good, that's a fine way. What I would say to this guy too is, you know, don't assume so much about people, especially in romantic relationships, because for all you know, I mean, they might not even be looking for a long-term person. A lot of people aren't when they're dating.
Most people aren't.
Most people even, they're not walking into the first encounter like, oh, I just don't see forever in this, therefore, like, I won't even bother.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people just want to have fun with each other.
That's true. And I mean, if you don't want to do that, that's fine. But if you do, that's fine too.
Yeah.
And you can be picky or you can not. Whatever. Doesn't matter. I think that he's overthinking it. I mean, that's what you do when you're 23 years old, though. You overthink everything.
Everything is very dramatic.
It is. And you're like, oh, my life is doing it. Like, wait till you get to 32, dude. Like, you won't even.
Yeah, then talk to me about life.
Yeah, talk to me about something then. Oh, one of my friends is turning 30 in like 5 days. Mm-hmm. And every time he brings it up, I say that it's all downhill from here. And I've noticed that I say that I'm older than most of my friends now. I'm older than you. I'm older than everybody I know that I'm friends with, which is simultaneously depressing but also kind of fun, because what I notice is whenever they reach a milestone in their life that I've reached already, like, say, a birthday or whatever, I can say, oh, it's all downhill from here. And I have this, like, fake perspective that everything's terrible once you hit a certain age. It's not, but it's fun to tease people about it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that is a fun thing about being a little bit older. You can kind of, like, poke fun and jab and, like, secretly validate some of these fears they have.
Yeah, and people complain. They're like, D-d-d-d-d. I'm like, oh, come on, you're 26. You don't know anything about anything yet, you know? And, like, partially I'm making fun of them, but on the other hand, you know, kind of saying the truth as well, you know, because they don't know anything about anything. And, you know, I'm sure a 35-year-old can tell me that I don't know anything about anything too, but, you know.
Yeah. It's kind of like you're standing at the edge of a dark hallway and you're a child and, you know, your mom or your dad is with you and they're like, you don't want to walk down that hallway. The boogeyman is down there. And then you're like, oh, I knew it. I knew there was something bad down there. I'm never going to go down there. I'm so scared. And you finally get down there and it's like, wait, there's nothing here.
Nothing there. But I want to scare you with the boogeyman because that's important. Next question comes from what the W2FFFWWWTF. He asks, which game should I play while on Blueberry Gorilla? Which game should I play while on Blueberry Gorilla?
Is that a marijuana type?
I have a thick vape pen. Oh, sorry, THC vape pen.
Okay.
With two different cartridges. One is Blueberry Gorilla. One is Alien Dog with the D-A-W-G. I'm sorry.
See, how much cooler would Home Skillet be as a flavor?
Blueberry Gorilla, Alien Dog, and Home Skillet. he says they are both most likely indica. What should I play on the PS4 when I hit the Blueberry Gorilla? Watch Dogs 2, Dead by Daylight, Far Cry 4, or Black Ops 4? You can use a lifeline if you like. Oh, we can use a lifeline on this one, apparently. No one has replied to this guy. This was 46 minutes ago. Wow. Someone did reply. He said, wow, bro, you're so cool. I think I should reply. What should I say? He's going to hit the Blueberry Gorilla, and he's going to play a video game.
Okay.
And he wants to know what video game he should be playing.
On the PS4, and he gave us choices.
Watchdog 2, Dead by Daylight, Far Cry 4, or Black Ops 4. I don't think any of these are Blueberry Gorilla worthy, to be honest with you.
Yeah, these are not the choices I would make, but
I would play... No, what were you going to say?
I would just say Black Ops. That seems like the one...
It's kind of boring, though, don't you think?
But he's smoking Blueberry Gorilla. Like, that's he true. Doesn't sound... You know.
Yeah. Maybe if this was Alien Dog, we would give you a different one.
Yeah.
But Black Ops 4. Okay. I'm going to call it Blops 4 in my post because I think that's a cooler thing to do.
Yeah.
All right. I said it. I posted it.
Awesome.
If it was Alien Dog, I think we would give him like a weird game like, one of those like VR. No, that would be too much for him probably. You can't smoke vape and then VR. That would be probably too much stuff.
When I'm smoking on some Alien Dog, I like to play shmups. I like to play some Toho or some Tyrion or some.
Can't do that on PS4 though.
No, you can't. I guess.
See, this guy doesn't have. I mean, he's only got a PS4. He can't do this. All right. This question is so sad. I don't even want to read it.
I'm really curious, though.
A lot of people are asking for advice today. I think it's the new year, and it's like that's the time you ask for advice. I am Reddit user Fight Me asks, advice, please. So I need some advice. I really miss my old best friend. When I was 6 years old, I moved into my new house, finding out that my next-door neighbor had, one, the exact same name as me, and two, was only a year and a half younger than me. Straight away, we became best friends and got along instantly. Over the years, we did everything together, but as we got older, we started fighting more often and had a falling out maybe half a year ago. I miss her super much, and it makes it worse that we're neighbors. Plus, we're moving houses again soon, and I want to become friends with her again before it's too late, and I'll never see her again. Please give me advice. Oh, my God.
That's
this makes me so sad.
That's really unfortunate that they had a falling out.
I know. And here's the saddest part. This person is moving, and they're probably like 15 years old. I'm going to guess. They're probably not very old. They're probably 15 or 13, 14, 15, and their parents are moving them. They're leaving this neighborhood. And this person thinks that it's their last chance to be friends with this person because they're still neighbors, you know? So they want to like leave on a friendship note so they can remain in contact.
Yeah.
Cuz they feel like if they don't, they'll never communicate ever again.
This is so sad.
This is really hard, too. And it's
so sad.
I don't think adults these days would appreciate how hard this is because at 15, specifically the age they kind of sound like, that is the hardest time for this to happen because if your parents move, you're not going to see that person probably for at least 10 years.
Yeah, you're not going to see him again.
And that's kind of the most developmental part of a person's life. When you're 15 and you separate, that friend of yours is going to become a totally different person in 2 years, and you're going to have to watch
it. You're not going to know them anymore.
Yeah, and you're not going to be able to participate, and it'll be impossible to reconnect.
And I'll tell you something else. When you're 15, you need a best friend, or it's hell out there. Let me tell you that right now. You know, like, you need a best friend at 15. Like, you do, I think. You know, I couldn't have got through 15 without you personally, but you know what I mean? Like, it's tough out there without. And maybe this person feels like, oh, this is so sad. Because they were best friends so long, and then half a year ago, they had a falling out. And now they're not best friends anymore or whatever. And this person thought they probably always could have this person as their best friend. And now they're moving away at 15 years old or whatever old they are. And they probably have the sinking feeling that, like, they're never going to find a best friend like that again. Especially now at 15. And they're going to need that as they are a teenager. And they're probably right. They probably do need that. And, it's depressing. My advice would be have hope that you will find another friend that will be able to fill this hole for you.
Yeah, that's what I would say.
Because you can do it as a teenager. It's definitely easier to make friends when you're the younger you are, 100%. But it can be done as you're older, too. Like, so 15, 16, you can still make best friends with someone for sure. So if that's what you're worried about, I would say that's what you should hope for. If it's more of a, like, you're going to really miss this person, I don't know. I feel like maybe there's something you could do. Do you think there's anything you could do to, like, make amends with this person before you leave?
I think she should try to reach out. I mean, it wouldn't hurt to just say, you know, write exactly what it said in that post to the person, you know, instead of the internet. I think that's a good first step.
This is going to sound really lame, but I would write her a letter. That's so stupid, but I think it's the way to go, okay? Now, the reason I say letter is because it's so awkward talking to a person in person, like, sometimes. Because you have to be like, hey, can we talk? No, I mean, like, alone, one-on-one, da-da-da-da-da-da, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's awkward, especially in a relationship like this where they're, like, kind of had a falling out. But if you write her a letter before you leave, maybe, like, a month before you leave, you can just tell them how you feel, like, I'm so sorry that we had a falling out. I didn't, you know, maybe if you said something mean, he didn't mean it. I really value your friendship. I would like you to be part of my life still. Please, let's keep in touch. You know, I don't want to lose you as a part of my life or something like that, you know? Just be honest, you know?
Yeah.
Because no one has... You don't realize this as a teenager, but there's no time for these stupid games. Life is too short to lose friends like this, in my opinion. It's too short, you know? Just be honest with people. If you fucked up, be honest about it.
Yeah.
You know, if you want somebody in your life, tell them that. Tell them that. If they don't want you, that's fine. But at least you have it off your chest and you've told them, you know?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you know what I mean? It's too short.
Letter's a good idea. I don't think she would get a reply, but having written the letter, that'll stick in her memory, and she'll know that she can always go back. That's like what that letter does.
Yeah, it leaves the door open for future. It's not going to make her best friends with you immediately or anything, but it leaves the door open, and maybe one day in the future, they'll send you a text message or call you on the phone or something, and it'll just... Because they remembered that you care still, and that's all you really want. You know, you just want to leave... that open, that door open, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to burn that bridge. So, oh, it's heartbreaking though, isn't it?
It's a good story. You know what it reminds me of? It makes me think of Toy Story for some reason.
It does. Toy Story is such a good movie.
Yeah.
I've learned so much from that movie. God. Relationships and growing up, you know.
I'm literally imagining like sketches of Woody and like the hippo on the letter, and like
yeah.
for some reason.
Oh God, they should make a Toy Story with this plot, because this could be a plot of Toy Story.
It's totally a Toy Story plot.
It is. Oh man, that was a heartbreaking question. That was hard to get through, but it's important, you know. Like. You need to make time for this stuff, because it'll pass you by, you know?
Yeah.
I'm getting mushier as I get older. And I mean, I know you know this, because I tell you it every day, it seems like. I'm getting so, like, mushy and emotional as I age. And I think it's because I was so cold-hearted as a youngster.
Yeah.
Remember when I was a teenager, I was so like, everything's meaningless and life's terrible, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, life is terrible, but I'm, like, trying to appreciate the good stuff now, you know, and, like, the important things.
Yeah.
And I was having this conversation recently, and I don't want to draw the show out so long. This is going to be really mushy. I'm sorry. I was having this conversation at work with some people I was eating lunch with, and they were talking about, like, oh, you know... Someone was joking to me about, like, oh, you know, Chris, we're so good friends now. You know, we could be best friends. And I was like, I made the joke, like, sorry, I only have room for three best friends in my life. And they're like, you have three best friends? And I was like, I really only have one, but I have two other people that I consider very close friends, you know, of me or whatever. Like, you're my best friend, obviously. Oh, but
thank you.
I have two other people that I consider pretty close, and like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they were like, and someone else turned to me and was like, I wish I had a best friend.
Oh,
and
that
just
no.
made me like, I didn't cry, but I almost cried.
Because, I just like, that felt is, tears activated.
Right? That is so sad. And I didn't realize how important and how lucky I am to, like, have a constant friend like you in my life for a very long time that I, like, didn't, you know, realize how lucky that, you know what I mean? Like, I don't appreciate it as
much. It took me, like, 15 years to appreciate it, and I apologize for how long it took me, but...
No, it took me long, too. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Like, I never knew...
I didn't either.
How big a deal it was.
Yeah. And so I was like, oh, I have like three really good friends, really best friends. And I have one really best friend. Obviously, it's you. And he was like, oh, I wish I had a best friend. And I was like, man, like he doesn't even have the two lesser best friends that I was talking about. It's like, oh, that's just like, you know.
Yeah.
That's too
hard.
You don't realize how lucky you are until you've realized other people's lives, you know, so... Anyway, that's all to say that cherish your friendships, because they are the most important part of life, I think. Now that I'm 32 years old, I think that's absolutely true. You know, if not, I mean, family, friends, that's it. That's all you have at the end of the day, right?
Yeah.
Those are the things that are important, and I realized that way too late, but you know, finally coming around now. I had to hit 30 before I started realizing that that was true, but, you know.
Yeah, that's something I am still working on constantly. Like, I was, since I've started running especially, I've realized, you know, things that you do in life that your family and friends say, way to go on, like, yeah. It took me a really long time to realize that, like, that's the stuff I should focus more on.
That's what matters, yeah.
Yeah, like, if you say, wow, that's cool, that's something I need to take seriously and, like, focus on.
Yeah, like, if you're getting praise from a friend or a family member about something awesome.
Yeah.
Then you know that it's, like, worth doing, because, like, it's really cool.
Yeah, because I have had a lot of interests that have driven people away from me.
And I'm not saying you shouldn't have that. I mean, you should be your own man, but at the same time, like, I know where you're coming from. Like,
mm-hmm.
You get that, if you get that support, that's
good. That's what you should listen to.
Yeah. It's kind of part of your own moral, like, it's part of your own compass, you know, you can use it as your own guideline for what you're doing and stuff, which is cool. Man, we're getting really mushy today.
Yeah,
anyway, I just wanted to say thank you. And I just want to say, you know, I don't appreciate it sometimes, but, like, I'm getting to the point where I'm, like, I'm more appreciative.
Yes, thank you,
and
too.
Some people don't have that, and it's really sad. And I hope for all our listeners they find a person like that in their lives.
Reach out to us. I'll be your friend, man. I'll be anyone's friend. I'll be your friend. I will.
Too. Yeah.
Almost anyone. I don't know.
Let's not go too crazy here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to, like... If you're, you know...
If you're a weirdo. Oh, God. All right, let's do our last trivia question.
Okay, I forgot we haven't done the last one. Okay.
Me too. I'll do it really fast.
All right.
It'll be a speed round.
It's also biology.
Okay. 5 second Google.
Okay. What are baby owls called?
Ooh, okay.
Right. Is it A, owl poles? Is it,
are you serious?
Is it B, meeps? Is it C, deets? Or is it D, owlets?
These are so cute. I'm not going to even Google. I'm just going to guess. Owl poles doesn't really make any sense. That sounds like a word you would invent.
Okay.
Meeps is cute. Deets sounds kind of weird. And owlets sounds almost too cute to be real, you know?
Yes.
I'm going to go with meeps. It's like a right amount of cute to real sounding. Meep's final answer.
That is incorrect.
Damn it. What was it?
It is owlets.
Really? Yeah, so it is really the cute is. One. Mm-hmm. That's so adorable. Owlets. All right, I have two more Reddits, unless you want to do yours.
No, go ahead.
What is the weirdest question you ever got asked in an interview?
I haven't been asked that many weird questions. I've given a lot of weird answers in interviews, but not many weird questions.
I had the worst interview. I'm not going to name the place, but it was a company that did mobile video games. You can just guess which one it was. And they asked me, and this was for like a very low-level position, and they asked me questions that you would expect to get asked in like a Google interview. Like, how many different colors were there in the lobby? And what was the name of the receptionist? And if you, like random math riddle things, you know? Yeah. Like, if you had this many things and you took away this many and you multiplied it, blah, blah. Like, on your feet, like, stupid gotcha questions like that. Like, very tech bro kind of interview questions. And this was the whole interview. It was all these stupid questions that have nothing to do with the job. It was just like they're trying to get you off, you know, catch you off guard or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, what did the hallway turn left or right when you came into the interview? Like, whatever. It was like
I don't remember. Shut up. You're annoying me.
Yeah. And these were all the questions. And at the end of the thing, they're like, okay, thank you. Do you have any questions for us? And I asked them, like, your standard, you know, what do I do, blah, blah, blah. And then I got an offer, like, a week later. And you know how much they were paying? $13 an hour.
What the
Like, what are you doing asking me, like Google-level questions when you're paying $13 an hour? Like, seriously, So I turned that down. I was like, shh, fuck you, buddy. Like, you know.
That's so irritating.
If you're going to give me like a IQ test in this interview, then the job better be like really, really good paying, you know.
I would be suspicious of any place that tried to ask like stupid gotcha questions like that.
Oh, I wasn't going to. Like, once they asked me those, I was like, I'm not working here. This is stupid. If they care about this gotcha question culture, then they're not interviewing for, like, people that fit in or people that would be good at their job. They're interviewing for people that would impress them in an interview, which those are the worst people you want working for you. Let me tell you, people that are impressive in an interview and that's their only quality, like, that's the last people I want to hire, you know.
Backstabbers.
Yeah, pretty much. So, that was my words. I mean, that was in one question, but it was a very weird interview, and I did not care for it.
I got asked, what are you the worst at in regards to IT? And I was like, I don't know. That's exactly what I said.
You said, I don't know?
I said, I don't know.
That's what you left it?
I said, if I'm the worst at it, I probably don't know I'm the worst at it yet. You know?
Actually, that's very true. Like, that's an honest answer. Like, if I'm the worst at something, I don't know what it is because I'm the worst at it.
Yeah. It's the what I know the least about, which I don't know.
Which you don't know what you know the least about because you haven't had it affect you yet.
Right.
You know?
That was my
answer.
That's actually
an honest answer. That's a good answer. That if I was interviewing you, I'd be like, oh, that's smart. Yeah.
I'm such an honest person, though. Like, especially when it comes to interviewing, I think I caught him off guard because, like, right after that question, I was like, was that a good answer? Like, I don't know.
Honestly, I would have been, like, if I was interviewing you, I'd be like, oh, that was a good answer.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. Some people like the flowery
answer.
Like, they make something up on the spot and it's like really impressive.
Yeah.
The whole way we interview people is stupid, in my opinion. Like, you're not really interviewing for the job, you're interviewing for like this mythical position that has not a lot to do with the job, and you're like winning the, it's like a game show, you know what I mean? You're like, you're trying to win this game show that was invented on the spot by the interviewer. And if you win, then you get this job that doesn't really have anything to do with the game show in any way.
Yeah.
But if you're good at the game show, then you get it. You know, it's really weird. I don't like interviewing. I think it's stupid.
It's my worst skill.
I think there are better ways to pick people to work for you than interviewing. You know, like, well, maybe interviewing is the wrong word. Like, interviewing is fine. Talking to someone one-on-one, which is what an interview is fine. But the way we go about it, I feel like there's a better way to do it than asking these benign questions that don't really mean anything.
Yeah. I don't think anyone does it good. I mean, I've never had it done in a way that I was like, you know what? I bet they found the best person by asking what they did.
Right, right. You're just, at the end of an interview, you're not like, wow, that was a hard interview. I bet they're going to find a genius that's perfect fit for the company. I've never felt that.
No.
What you do feel is like, wow, that was hard. Someone's going to get lucky with answering the right questions and get that job. You know what I mean? Like, which is a shitty way to feel at the end of an interview, but that's what it is like.
That's life, man.
It's life. It's luck, man. It's all luck.
It isn't.
It's all.
All.
What?
It isn't all luck.
It's a good portion of luck.
Yeah, it's mostly. You know, it's mostly luck.
Mostly luck and who you know. That's why you need support, you know? The more people you can have that can support you, that's really how you. That's the cheat code because everything is luck. So, the more people in your corner, the better, I guess. That's you know. Other than that, is luck and persistence. That's all it is.
Yep.
Well, I like how we were mushy and then we ended with a very depressing note. Like
oh, really? Job
interviews. It's all just luck. Don't even try because it's just luck.
Yeah.
Who's our sponsor today, Bastard?
Our sponsor today is Blue Baboon Popsicles.
Oh. Blue Baboon Popsicles. Is that real or?
Yes, they're our sponsor.
When you're feeling like something fruity and blue, lick a Blue Baboon.
Gross.
Remember when you're feeling really weird,
go and feel weird and leer at all the weirdness.
Good night, everyone. Drive safely. Bye.